SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, it is a Wednesday, our third and final hour, 4 days out from Super Bowl Sunday. We continue to have some fun for the biggest football game of each and every season. But then after that, we kind of put football to the side for the rest of the show. We'll check in New Orleans one final time with our guys on Radio Row. But we get you set for a big Wednesday night in the NBA. 11 games around the association, and the action, of course, continues all around the country in college basketball. In this week, Super Bowl week, always a fun time, of course, but a party out in Phoenix, typically Scottsdale, in the PGA Tour. The WM Phoenix Open, we will check in live in Scottsdale with Keith Stewart coming up in just a couple of minutes. Joe, a huge third and final hour here on this Wednesday on the Early Line.
Yeah, it's getting to be at that point here, Ben, where you can get it's starting to get exciting because we're looking forward to what's happening Sunday. But in the meantime, man, have we got a loaded slate on the hardwood coming up here between now and then as well. Looking forward to it all.
Yeah, it will be a very big night in the NBA and in college hoops. We'll bring you some best bet. I was on a college hoops heater last 2 weeks or so. This week, I'm getting killed by the hook in a couple of spots. But, hey, that's neither here nor there. All right, Ranieri, let's hear from the people about their favorite part of Super Bowl Sunday. Is it the actual football game itself? Is it all the bets that you can make, both the individual player props, spread, side, total, all of that? Is it the fun props we just detailed for you throughout the entirety of the second hour? Is it your friends? Is it the beer? Is it the food? Is it the commercial? Is it Kendrick Lamar at halftime? What is your favorite part of Super Bowl Sunday? We find out from all of you and Fade the Public. What is your favorite part of Super Bowl Sunday? At Sports Grid on Twitter. Is it the game? Is it the gambling? Is it the food? Is it the halftime slash all of those fun Super Bowl commercials? And most of the public, that's why we love the Sports Grid audience, they're just dialed into the football. One final football game this season. To see it on the screen, to see the X's and O's, the matchup advantages and the biggest stars for the two best teams that have reached this stage, the most significant of a season each and every year. Nearly 47% of the public is saying the game itself, that's enough for me. Joe, you fit in the public. Which way did you vote?
Yeah, well, I can understand. I appreciate the public's response there in saying the game, Ben. But depending on the group of friends you're going to be spending time with, for many, many years, Ben, I cared less about the game and more about the actual gambling on the commercials, where we would honestly just bet as far as what we thought the next commercial was going to be. And what product it may be. So I enjoyed everything but the games in year past, especially when it came to total degeneracy. So I would fade the public in this one.
I like that. Would you guys have a prop board? Would you have some sort of system to organize how you would bet on what the next commercial was going to be? Or was it just, hey, we're sitting on the couch, car commercial coming up next? Was it official?
Industry, It was all industry. We'd have to yell. We'd have to, somebody would get and name their price, and we'd get everyone else to bet on it. So, and boy, you get caught up in it pretty quickly, Ben, with the amount of commercials coming up there. And if you were right, there was some money to be made there outside of the game.
Listen, I think I might try to bring that to my Super Bowl party on this Sunday in just a little bit. I am no Mark Zeno. I love the actual game itself. Even last year, Joe, I was at Super Bowl week with Sports Grid. My fiance's sister was getting married in Mexico last Super Bowl weekend. People thought it was crazy. Married Super Bowl weekend? Well, she did a very nice thing and had it on a Friday night. Saturday was a party afterward. But we stayed in Mexico for Super Bowl Sunday. I scrolled through the TV log to make sure I could find the English broadcast, even in Puerto Vallarta, and still watch the football game, and it was great. One thing I did miss, though, the camaraderie of a Super Bowl party, the food at a Super Bowl party, and the commercials that you get to take in at a Super Bowl party. So I am glad to be here stateside this year and looking forward to a great Super Bowl Sunday. And I've been told, the host, one of my good friends, going to his apartment for Super Bowl Sunday, that the wings that he gets from a neighborhood spot back in his hometown out in Westchester here in New York are the best wings he has ever had in his life. Now, it's not Buffalo, right? We're not up in Western New York, but I'm going to take his word. He says these wings from a place called Candlelight. Whoa! Joe Frizzo, our producer, a native of Westchester as well, just said the exact restaurant's name in my earpiece as I was delivering it to our national audience. Candlelight in Westchester. Man, I'm excited. So I still voted for the game because, Joe, we have talked about this freaking game so many different times from so many different perspectives over the last 2 weeks here on the Early Line. I'm just excited to see it play out. I am not part of the public thought that's like, oh, boo-hoo, it's the same two teams for the second time in 3 years, or screw the Chiefs for being here each and every season. I think it's going to be a sensational football game like we saw in Super Bowl 57 between these two sides. So I still voted for the game, but now with a couple of resume bolsters for Candlelight's wings, the food for me is that second option.
Yeah. It's got to be, right, Ben? It's got to be. And everybody, and we all know that one person. Who's the person that's bringing the buffalo chicken dip? Who's the one bringing the wings? Everybody brings food, and there's always that one dish that never gets uncovered because somebody opened it up and was like, yeah, no. Don't know where that came from. Not eating it. It can stay there. The dogs eventually have to eat anyway. But yes, the food and the selection, always an important part of any Super Bowl Sunday.
Listen, I might have a beer, a couple of beers. We'll see how Sunday goes. You know, enjoy myself for one final football game. I'm around some very talented friends, at least in the kitchen, some culinary whizzes, if you will. A couple of years ago, Buffalo chicken calzones were the staple of a Super Bowl party I attended. I mean, now I'm getting hungry thinking about it. I'm fired up. Last few years where I have been on set at the Super Bowl, we have had the people from Gen Youth and Taste of the NFL, some celebrity chefs that have come on and talked about what they prepare for Super Bowl Sunday. Mouth is watering at this point, Joe Ranieri. Mouth is watering. Mm-hmm. But I'm very excited, really, for it all. I think halftime show with Kendrick Lamar, going to be sensational. Excited to see the commercials once again. I've already highlighted the food I expect to eat on Sunday. The game is going to be great. Also, hoping the gambling is good as well. And then I have some profits based on all of the prop bets that I have already wagered on. Joe, like you, we've done this show so many times that either during a show or immediately after the early line, the last 3 to 4 days, I have put in at least one more wager, if not multiple. So hoping all of our conversations are profitable ones here on Sports.
Yep. Ben, they better be. But quite honestly, it's going to take me a few days to dissect whether or not we made any money with the amount of bets that we've got coming up across multiple accounts. I might actually have to bring in an accountant to figure it all out when it's all said and done. But either way, I'm looking very forward to it.
Listen, man, I was building up the bankroll in college basketball. We need Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to get us back up to the level so I can be in a good place and hope to stay in a profitable one come Sunday. And maybe that will include a couple of PGA Tour wagers. The biggest party in golf is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So this is always Super Bowl weekend. but it also coincides with the biggest party in golf at the Waste Management. Now officially, the WM Phoenix Open at TPC Scottsdale, but I'm sure you have all seen the scenes on the par 3 17th hole that is absolutely incredible. Par 3, 17th or 16th? Am I messing that up? Anyway, the guy who will clarify for us, Keith Stewart, joining us here bright and early on this Wednesday, live from Scottsdale out in the desert at the WM Phoenix Open. Keith, just to make sure I got that right, par 3, 17th or 16th? Am I messing it up?
Ben, it is the 16th, but by the end of the 16th. Day, most people don't know what hole it is anyway. Yeah, so you're spot on, 16.
The 19th hole always at the WM Phoenix Open. We will get to the biggest party in golf in just a matter of moments in a star-studded field. But, Keith, that was the case last week from where you joined us out at Pebble Beach. And what a win it was to start this season on the PGA Tour for Rory McIlroy, prevailing on Sunday at Pebble. What did you make of Rory's performance last week at Pebble Beach?
You know, I think Rory played very inspired golf. You know, Rory talks a lot, but he talked a lot about how he was going to play more conservative and, you know, try to manage his game a little bit more like Scotty. For me, when Rory goes into that extra gear like he did on the 14th hole all 3 days that he played Pebble, and he drove it over the houses and had 7-iron into one of the longest par fives on the PGA Tour, that is the one guy that can challenge Scotty when he's at his superpowers. And that, for us, is something that's going to be extremely entertaining throughout the course of 2025.
Yeah, he admitted it, right? He's like, above the shoulders is where my – it ain't a talent issue there, Keith, with him. It's above the shoulders sometimes he loses it. And, boy, he looked a lot calmer than I've seen him in a very long time in that tournament, which means – Rory could be back, and you think he gets that one major that's eluded him for a long, long time here?
Hey, Joe, I mean, that's a great question. The Masters is what you're alluding to, and I'm not so quite sure about that. I mean, here's the thing. Anyone that's ever gone for the career Grand Slam has done it within three tries. So Jordan going for the PGA Championship, Rory now going on, what, his 11th try in order to get the Masters. Yep. Statistically, the trend is not your friend on that one, I can tell you that much.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see exactly where Rory McIlroy's game is in now just about 2 months as we get ready for Augusta, Georgia, in the opening major of the year at the Masters. Awful performance, Keith, for Scottie Scheffler in his season debut. Just a T9? A T9, Scotty? We expect so much more out of Scotty Scheffler, which we will see, of course, based on the odds expectation for the WM Phoenix Open. Last week, pre-tournament, I believe the price was 4-1. Scheffler's first event of the year coming off the hand injury. Somehow, some way, it is even shorter. A +280 price. Keith, what can we expect out of Scotty this week in Scottsdale?
Well, Ben, I think you're giving him a tough time. You know, he did lead the field in approach play last week at Pebble. I mean, he lapped the field at it. And here's the thing. You know, everyone's not going to bet that number. And what they do, they come to us because they need alternative ways with which to play Scotty this week. Let's just get right to it. Keith's keys for how to play Scotty this week. I've got three of them for you guys. All right. The first one is, we talked about it last week. You could always live bet him. If he gets anywhere near 10-1, it's an automatic bet. You know he's playing all four rounds here at TPC Scottsdale. He's only won here twice, right? And, you know, everyone always talks about Scotty's putting. Well, two of his best putting performances in his career of the top three are here on this golf course. So, number one is you got to try to live bet him. You know what? Somebody will say, well, Keith, that's not good enough for me. Well, how about, here's a second option. You know, take him as the third round leader. You can still get a number like 10-1 on him to be leading on Saturday night pre-tournament. That's an option. It's about four times what you're going to get for him to win overall. And here's the third one. And I talked about this with Carver last night. I did this once last year. And when you pick the timing just right, you can hit on this and you can make a big number on Scotty. This week, the LPGA is playing a golf course where Nelly Korda, their number one player, is also defending. And she won last year in a playoff. She just played fabulous in their opening event last weekend, coming in runner-up. 132 over the weekend, which is a low number. You take her at +450 and Scotty at +280. You can get +1900 on a parlay, putting both of them together to win this week. 20-1 on Scotty at a place where there's absolutely no doubt he's going to be a big part of this conversation come Sunday afternoon. Those are my Keith's keys for how to take care of Scotty this week.
Ooh, I love that. You know, historically, this is a tournament that sees a lot of playoffs, one-stroke wins. I mean, it really does come down to Sunday, and we had 125-1 winner in Nick Taylor last year. Are we getting another bomb this year here, Keith, you think?
Hey, Joe, I'll break it down for you, okay? There are 18 guys that can win this golf tournament. And here's why. This is the third most predictive golf tournament on the PGA Tour. Number one is Augusta National. Number two is the Sony Open out there at Wiley. This is number three. So the trend is your friend. 13 of the last 14 winners have had a top 10 in their previous five starts before they won here. The second one, 9 of the last 10 winners, okay, have had a prior top 7 finish or better at the WMPO. The only outlier there was Brooks, who won here in 2015 in his first try. Okay, there's 18 guys that fill those two trends. And my early leans, I have two of them.
And so let's get to those early leans live right here on the early line, Keith, in the final minute of this segment for the WM Phoenix Open. If we're not looking at Scottie Scheffler outright, who are those guys expected to have a great week in Scottsdale at the WM Phoenix Open?
Ben, just a little further down the board. Everybody's talking about Hideki, but you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go with Sungjae Im, plus 2,200. In four starts this year, he has two top four finishes, and he's 49 under par in the year 2025. He's playing great golf, and he's played very well here in the past. He can go deep in the desert. He's won in Vegas. I love him. And the second guy, and this is a showman, and this is a showman's amphitheater, right? You have to embrace. This is like strokes gained, you know, fans, right? All of it, right? Billy Horschel, plus 64. Joe, you can make some money on this here, right? Okay, Billy Ho has had two top tens in his last five here, and he was great last week at Pebble. He was T9, and I mean, and he looks awesome this week on the range. There's two early leans for you, early line.
Keith, enjoy the biggest party in golf this week at the WM Phoenix Open. We appreciate the time. More from New Orleans next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday on the early line on SportsGrid. Back out to the Big Easy we go. A guy that has covered many a Super Bowl joins our guy, Donnie Wrightside. It's Mike Golic, Sr. and DRS from Radio Row.
The big game out in New Orleans, Super Bowl 59, live from Media Row. And I got a special guest for you right here because I grew up on Buddy Ball, and it's Mike Golic, Sr.
I love the picture behind me. It's back like when I looked like an athlete. Even though I wasn't that great of an athlete, but I kind of look like an athlete, much different than now with the graying beard.
Yeah. I mean, you institutionalized for me as a kid. But let's go over everything and how it went down. Grew up in Ohio. How did you get to Notre Dame?
Well, it's a 4.5-hour drive. My brother Bob, who's six years older than me, he went there in 75. So I kind of was brought up on it a little bit. Yeah. When he went there, I was 12, and I got hooked on it. We'd go watch his games.
Yep.
So I was hooked on it. That was kind of where I wanted to go once the recruiting cycle started for me. And then we basically brainwashed all our kids to go there as well.
Hey, play football, smart and swim. Move at that point. Great institution at that point. So you get drafted into the NFL. You wind up with the Houston Oilers. How was that?
I was a 10th round pick, so it was a struggle to make the team. And for you young listeners out there, it used to be the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Is the Houston Oilers. make that connection there. I was there for 2.5-3 years.
Who was the coach there?
It was Jerry Glanville.
Jerry Glanville.
It was his first head coaching.
Wow.
And what he was known for is on away games, he would leave two tickets for Elvis.
Did he ever show up, though?
Elvis
did not. Were there impersonators showing up?
Elvis did not show up in the house. But listen, I enjoyed it. I was a linebacker in college, and then all of a sudden went to the defensive line. I devolved from an athlete to a non-athlete, going down and putting my hand in the dirt.
Now, you find your way to Philadelphia, late 1980s. This is when football finally turned in Philadelphia. 1980, go to the Super Bowl, some down years, Marion Campbell. You come in under Buddy Ryan. How did you find your way to Philadelphia, and how did you think that fit was right away?
Well, I got cut by the Houston Oilers after the strike. I was kind of real pro union, and they cut me after the strike ended. and I went and visited a couple of teams, but it was a Tuesday I got cut. Thursday I visited Philadelphia and fell in love with Buddy and his, obviously I knew about Buddy Ryan's defense.
Yes.
You know, from the Bears. And Buddy seemed to like me, and they offered me a job on the spot. I got cut Tuesday, went there on Thursday, and actually played in the game against the St. Louis Rams that Sunday.
By the way, talking about that 1987 strike season, which was interesting, because Buddy always struck a nerve in Philadelphia being very pro-union and didn't want any of his players crossing that picket line at that point. And I always understood that once they came back pro-union, everybody was fine, but Buddy was very upset with the way some of the other teams handled that strike.
Oh, listen, I was upset. I was a 10th round pick, not making comparatively to other players a lot of money. I was walking the picket line, then all of a sudden, the high paid quarterbacks and wide receivers and defensive players, the high paid ones, were crossing the line. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. You're screwing us. So, it obviously did not end well, reliving the past there. But Buddy, gave out, like, fake rings and such. Yeah, he really, really disapproved.
Always
like
to think of the Norman Brayman. I remember, I think Keith Jackson got a limo sent to the airport when he finally got paid. But I do want to talk to you about this. You played in one of the most iconic football games in Philadelphia history. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Fog Bowl.
Fog Bowl.
How was that?
That was a playoff game, the Fog Bowl. In Chicago, it was wild because the fog rolled in and we weren't sure what it was.
Yep.
We were like, is there fire? Is there smoke? But it didn't have that smoke fire smell. Yep. It had no smell at all. Then all of a sudden we were engulfed in fog. And the wild part about it, the ref would stand in the middle of the field and he would have his microphone to the officials in the in the booth, and he would say, "Oh, I can still see both goalposts." And we're looking at him going, what the hell are you looking at? You can't see 20 yards away. Yeah. But there's no way they were going to postpone that game once they started. There's no way they were going to send everybody home. So basically, whoever was leading when the fog rolled in was going to win. And unfortunately for us, the Bears were leading when the fog rolled in, but that was a wild game.
I mean, so many good games there. This is the heartbreak watching the playoffs. You lose to the Chicago Bears. Yep. I think it was the next year, I want to say it was the Rams. Home at Veterans Stadium. And then
lost.
Yeah, they were tough all the way through, but certainly iconic. Just give me a quick anecdote, because you played with Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Mike Pitts, Clyde Simmons, you know, endless superstars on that line. How did you fit in with them? Like, how did you earn the respect and the trust of them?
Just by being kind of the lunch pail guy. They were the great players, the great athletes.
Yeah.
I was kind of the lunch pail guy that knew all the defense, that knew all the calls, kind of kept everybody lined up where they should, and then watched them do exceptional things on the field. It was, and the thing about it is, this was before free agency.
Correct.
So they were all better friends to me than teammates.
Gotcha.
There was no movement then. So, I mean, listen, losing Mike Pitts and Jerome Brown and Reggie White and Wes Hopkins and Andre Waters was just devastating.
It really was. It was such a golden area there for the Philadelphia Eagles that we thought we could have got one Super Bowl. Randall gets injured.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow. We have already seen some blockbuster deals, of course, over the weekend. Luka Doncic to Los Angeles, Anthony Davis in return to Dallas, De'Aaron Fox on his way to San Antonio, Zach LaVine back to Sacramento. Another big trade just hit the wire about 20, 25 minutes ago from ESPN's Shams Charania. The Milwaukee Bucks are trading Chris Middleton, A.J. Johnson Jr., and a pick swap to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin Jr., and second-round draft compensation. So the headline, Chris Middleton now leaves Milwaukee, makes his way to Washington, the Wiz, the worst team in the NBA this year. And the Bucks get a younger piece to try to bolster up a run in the Eastern Conference alongside Giannis and Dame. Germanary, what is your reaction to this trade in the NBA?
Well, I mean, listen, it's got to be tough for Milwaukee Bucks fans. I mean, Middleton has been a staple there with Giannis through their championship years and their, you know, their run here at the title. I believe he was the longest tenured Milwaukee Buck on the team, but problem is he's pretty much washed. I mean, he can't stay healthy. He's 33 years old, Ben, and really his best years are behind him. And Kyle Kuzma brings certainly a scoring punch here. I don't know if he's going to bring any defense, but they certainly will be able to go toe-to-toe scoring points with just about anybody now in the East.
Yeah, and that's really the story, Joe. Chris Middleton has been in Milwaukee for now 12 seasons. This his 12th year. This season, he's only played 23 games. He's only started in seven. He is averaging fewer than 13 points per game. In fact, the last year that Chris Middleton even played more than 35 games, or excuse me, more than 60 games in a season, that was 2021-22, the last year he was an All-Star, but that was his third season in a four-year span as an All-Star. He was that piece alongside Giannis before the Bucks had Damian Lillard, and of course the idea was you pair Damian Lillard with a healthy Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo, you have a front-runner in the Eastern Conference. Middleton really hasn't been that the last three seasons in Milwaukee. Spent the very first year of his NBA career in Detroit after being a second-round pick in 2012, the last 12 years in Milwaukee. He now makes his way to a Wizards team that is not in a great spot. As for Kyle Kuzma, 29 years old, started his career in Los Angeles, has played in the nation's capital since 2021. Only 32 games this year for Kuz, a little bit more than 15 points per game in nearly six boards. There is an idea, I guess, that you have a big two and a complimentary three, the big three, I would hearken to call it, for the Bucks. Kyle Kuzma is not exactly that in Milwaukee. It is still very much Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard and the rest for the Bucks. Does the add of Kyle Kuzma at all, Joe, change your outlook for Milwaukee the remainder of this season?
Well, obviously the Bucks didn't feel that they could rely upon a healthy Chris Middleton for a playoff run here. Otherwise, I don't think they would have made this move. But instead, they're getting a guy that's not having a great year, by the way. He's had good years in the past. We know that. But he's only shooting 28% from three this year. Less than 50% on twos. But again, he played for the league's worst team in the Washington Wizards. So maybe surrounding yourself with Dame Lillard and Giannis, maybe the best is yet to come here for Kuzma.
Yeah, maybe so. And he doesn't have to be the star, the number one option, or even the number two option. Milwaukee right now, 26-22. They've been on a four-game slide here as of late. 48 games out of their 82-game regular season. Joe, of course, it was a dreadful start to this year in the state of Wisconsin. 2-8 for this Doc Rivers-led team in his first full year as the Bucks head coach. But then they started to turn things around, really coinciding with the NBA in-season competition. They won their first game in group play that allowed them to win their group in the NBA Cup crown, a victory over the Oklahoma City Thunder. It hasn't been all rainbows and cupcakes since that point in the NBA in-season competition, but still in the five spot in the Eastern Conference, should be a playoff team. Can they make a deep postseason run? The thought is probably not. It's still really the Celtics, then the Cavs, then the Knicks, and then maybe everybody else in the Eastern Conference. Still, you would think a positive trade, although a difficult one, seeing Chris Middleton after 12 seasons in Milwaukee change organization. So that's the trade as of today. What might we see in the next 24 hours? Of course, that will be determined. What we saw over the weekend was De'Aaron Fox, dealt from Sacramento to San Antonio. Fox makes his debut in a Spurs uniform tonight in Atlanta. San Antonio heads to the ATL as a 4.5-point favorite against the Hawks. Total 242.5, a very, very high number for De'Aaron's debut. What can we expect out of Fox in his first game with Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs?
Well, if you're the Spurs, you hope it means a win because those have been few and far between lately here. They had a game against Memphis last time out where Memphis was on the second of a back-to-back with travel, and they got absolutely bulldozed, 128-109. They've lost to Miami. They've lost to the Clippers. They've lost to a whole lot of teams, and somewhere, somehow, they managed to dump 144 on Milwaukee there. So if we get that version of the Spurs, then yes, Atlanta, I think, is in trouble here. But it to me, you're looking at that total with Atlanta at home, and of course, I don't think we're going to get a ton of defense in this one. I think the over is probably the best way to look at this, and hopefully De'Aaron Fox makes his presence known here.
47 games for San Antonio this year, over 25 times. Atlanta has played 50 games already, over in 60% of them, over 30 times. Four teams in the NBA, Cleveland, Memphis, Denver, and these Hawks have played 30-plus games to the over this year. It is why the total is that high. Fox's numbers for his San Antonio debut, 22.5 points, 6.5 dimes, 4.5 rebounds. 8 years for De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. And I think a lot of people would say a very talented guard in the NBA, but only once an all-star. He will have to be at that level for the Spurs, who have only been booked as a favorite 15 times in 47 games. Does the addition of De'Aaron Fox make them a team with higher expectation? Of course, 8-7 against the spread as the favored side this year. We learned earlier in the show, as we get ready for deadline day in the NBA, in some rumors starting to circulate around Kevin Durant in Phoenix, that he is now listed as doubtful for tonight's game for the Suns in Oklahoma City. It is why the Thunder are a 12-point favorite. That and the fact they're the best team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? Looking very forward to seeing the news over the next 24 hours, because what we're hearing, Ben, is there could be a couple of teams with some very big-name players that are switching uniforms still to come in the next 24. Can't wait to see it happen.
Yeah, and a lot of that, Joe, might focus on Phoenix. What ultimately happens with Bradley Beal? And now KD in the mix. Does that mean they are making some moves and Jimmy Butler would take their place in the Valley? A lot to be figured out. As for this game, there's only one way that I would really look, and that is at OKC as the favored side in this matchup. Oklahoma City trying to get to 40 wins to match Cleveland as the two teams in the association at the 40-win benchmark so far this season. Some more handicaps around the association in college basketball. That comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
An 11-game slate around the association. Some breaking news on the day before deadline day in the NBA. Kyle Kuzma now makes his way to Milwaukee, the longtime Buck, in Chris Middleton. After 12 years with that organization in the state of Wisconsin, now heads to the Washington Wizards. But 11 games on this Wednesday, Joe. So let's continue to break it down. In his return for the first time in over a month after missing 15 consecutive games, Joel Embiid yesterday, a triple-double for the Sixers. Nice night for Tyrese Maxey as well. Second leg of a back-to-back in Philly. Not so sure we'll see JoJo out there once again, as the Sixers are a home dog against the Miami Heat. Total of 219. Now, what is the play in your estimation?
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, Ben. The 76ers totals have been great to the over. It hit again last night in that game. And although Miami coming in, unfortunately, Miami let one get by last night. They should have had against Chicago. But they'll roll back into this one. I think that total is a little bit too low. Great night by Adebayo last night. Double-double by Khalil Ware last night. So some of these young guys of Miami have shown they're willing to step up here with no Jimmy Butler. They'll look different, but I think they'll play hard, and I think the points are coming here tonight.
Seven of the last nine games for the 76ers, total has hit to the over. Now, as we have shared, great to see Joel Embiid back in the lineup. Are we going to see him on a second leg of a back-to-back? More than likely not. The points props out just already for the Philadelphia players. It is only Tyrese Maxey and Paul George. But the Sixers don't have much wiggle room. They're 20-29. At a certain point, you just have to win basketball games if you are ever going to see Joel Embiid in important games this year for the Sixers. That would be the postseason. Tough loss yesterday for Cleveland at home in a matchup between 1-2 in the Eastern Conference against the Celtics. The Cavs, second leg of a back-to-back, this time a change of venue. They head from Cleveland to Detroit. Now a 6-point spread in favor of the Cavaliers, total at 238. Last night, an under of that same total against the Seas, but the Cavs still the highest over percentage in the NBA this year.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit, it's a nice little homestand they've got here, right? Six games. They opened up with a couple of wins, but they lost to the Hawks in miraculous fashion on Monday. And in fact, they give up 73 first-half points in that game to the Atlanta Hawks in that one there. I would imagine there'll be a little bit more effort on the defensive side here, but will it matter because Cleveland has owned Detroit over the years here? And again, I'm thinking Mobley looks to bounce back after a terrible night last night against Boston. It would only be Cavs for me in this one.
If the season ended today, your Detroit Pistons would be an Eastern Conference play-in team, or yep, playoff team, not even a play-in team, sitting currently in the sixth spot with a tiebreaker advantage over the Hawks. They are only an even 500 at 25-25. The Heat, rather, not the Hawks. 25-25 for Detroit, meanwhile, an underdog in 35 of those 50 games, 19-14-2 against the spread this year for Detroit. 11 games in the association, plenty of areas of opportunity. Let's now get to college basketball. Rinse, wash, repeat. There is probably going to be a top 25 tilt each and every night within the SEC. That includes on this Wednesday in Knoxville, a top 15 matchup between Tennessee and Missouri. The Vols bouncing back in a big way over the weekend. 20-point win over Florida, even without the services of their point guard in Zakai Ziegler. 8.5-point favorite against number 15, Missouri, who is playing some great basketball, if you've not been paying attention, within the Southeastern Conference. Dennis Gates and his Tigers, 6-2 straight up in the SEC, 7-1 against the spread. How competitive is tonight on Arakita?
Well, I mean, we've already seen Missouri, you know, you alluded to it, right? Wins on the road in Gainesville against Florida, as well as Mississippi State over the weekend. And Tennessee, which Tennessee team shows up, Ben? There's just been far too much inconsistency with Rick Barnes and this team for me to want to lay that many points. Not to mention, if you haven't been following, Missouri in the first half has been an ATM machine covering numbers here, Ben. They come out flying. I expect them to do the same here against Tennessee tonight.
Joe, I think this is a number that says, all right, Missouri, it's been fun. Here's your step-up spot. If you've watched the Tigers play basketball, led by Caleb Grill, they've been great. I would not be surprised to see Tennessee win at home this game outright. I would also not be surprised to see Mizzou stay within this number. It is a lot of points. It's not quite as many. Do you want to just talk about the first game on this list? And I don't really want to talk about my alma mater and how terrible our basketball program is and our outstanding five-star freshman and Donnie Freeman probably not going to play the entirety of the rest of this year. Syracuse awful. 17.5-point spread at home tonight against Duke.
Yeah, and it's probably bad. But I was going to take Syracuse, but you just talked me off it. So, no, it's good to go now. I mean, Duke is what, 15 straight, 6-0 on the road? We've seen the money come in early and often, pushing this thing up to the number that you're at 17.5 there. My interesting game, and we talked about it earlier, was Creighton, who's been playing some amazing basketball. That number seems light to me at Providence. It feels like Creighton might not be a bad look here tonight, even as a road favorite.
Joe, there are three teams out of 364 at the Division I level, now that we are into conference slates, around the country that are covering in 90% of their conference games or greater. Yep. Creighton is one of them. They are 9-1-1 against the spread in Big East action. Huge win for St. John's last night inside MSG. They are 11-1. A little bit of separation in front of Marquette. Keep an eye on those Blue Jays. 9-2, and with a healthy Ryan Kalkbrenner, as good as you will see. It feels light.
Yep.
Providence has been gritty and feisty as of late. We'll give you some best bets for this Wednesday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So many games in college basketball on this Wednesday evening. 11 around the association, and we're sure some more headlines coming our way in just a little bit as we get ready for deadline day in the NBA, trade deadline day to be more specific. He is Germaneri. I am Ben Stevens. Before we round out our 3 hours together here on this Wednesday on TEL, we give you a best bet. 4 days away from Super Bowl Sunday. We need to build up the bankroll before the biggest and final football game of each and every season. We will hope to do so on this Wednesday night. It's time now for Bye Bye Bye. Joe, it could be college basketball. It could be the NBA. Heck, it could be anything you would like. Your best of all the bets for this Wednesday night is what?
Yeah, Ben, I'm going to go to college hoops here tonight because I think there are some pretty interesting games here, and I'm going to focus one of them back in the SEC because are we really anticipating that Arkansas is going to shoot like they shot again on the road against Texas in this one here, or are we looking at the ultimate letdown? Not to mention Texas got smacked by Florida in Gainesville a couple of weeks ago. But other than that, they've been pretty good now for quite a while here, especially at home. They beat Missouri, right? They beat Texas A&M. And I don't know. I think there is an opportunity for Texas to win this game rather easily. And I think a letdown is coming for Arkansas.
Yeah, listen, they gave everything they had for the skipper and for their multiple guys that left Lexington to go into Fayetteville on Saturday night. This does seem like that letdown spot that Arkansas might be up against. Yep. And very excited to see Missouri try to stay within the number and keep things competitive in Knoxville against Tennessee, the Tigers an 8.5-point dog against the Volunteers. Now, I would say, Joe, for a team ranked in the top 25 of the preseason AP poll with a ton of expectation in the best ever recruiting class in the history of its own basketball program, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, with an 11-11 record and a 4-7 mark in the Big Ten, have been highly disappointing this season. And yeah, they certainly have. But Rutgers is getting 8.5 at home tonight? In the rack against an Illinois team that is starting to squander just a little bit. 6-5 now, the straight up mark for the Illini in the Big Ten. They seem to be neck and neck, foot and foot, step for step with Michigan State earlier in this Big Ten season. Now, I do expect Illinois to actually bounce back and win tonight in Piscataway, but I don't think they win by double digits. Heck, I don't think they win by 9. I'll take the points with Rutgers at home at the rack. Again, very disappointing season within the Big Ten. In this calendar year, Joe, of 2025, Rutgers has played 9 games, all in conference action. They have been an underdog for all 9. But as of late, they have been covering the number. They have covered in 3 consecutive as a dog. They have covered in 5 of their last 6. I think Rutgers stays within that margin tonight at the rack. We will never call it Jersey Mike's Arena here on this show at the Rutgers Athletic Center tonight against Illinois. I'll take the 8.5 points with the Scarlet Knights.
Yeah, can't blame me there. And I really wish Dylan Harper would stay healthy and maybe this Rutgers team can make a run here come tournament time, because I they do have the talent. They got a couple of guys that are going to be top picks in the NBA. And unfortunately, they just haven't all played together enough because of the injury. So I'm with you, Ben. It feels entirely too big of a number for an Illinois team that's going the wrong way.
And Dylan Harper's status is in doubt for tonight. Missed the Michigan game over the weekend. In fact, has missed the prior two games for the Scarlet Knights. He was seen in a walking boot as they hosted Michigan on Saturday. But if Dylan Harper's not there, Ace Bailey still is for Rutgers. I think they keep this game within the number. That Creighton number, Joe, also very intriguing, laying 3.5 on the road against the Friars, who have won outright against Georgetown. That's their Super Bowl and kept the game close inside Madison Square Garden on Saturday against St. John's. But Creighton's playing at a really high level right now. He's Joe. I'm Ben. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Thursday, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on The Grid.